This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Good morning, everybody in the room and online. It's good to see you guys. Why don't you just say hello to somebody near you, whether it's here or online. Just say hello from wherever you are. So wave at people. There you go. It's always that greeting time. Hey, as you're getting set, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 14, we're going to be there today, kind of turn there. If you have your app on your phone, computer, I'm going to turn there, get a piece of paper, write down some notes, and as God speaks to you, write those things down. As you're doing that, a couple of quick announcements. One is in 2 weeks from today, we're going to be starting a new series called Rooted, and in that, a lot of things are going to be happening. We're going to have people in small groups. If you haven't signed up for small groups yet, we want you to do that. Groups are online for the most part. There's a hybrid connection. Either if they're meeting together, there's still people online, or some groups are fully online so that we can get everybody involved. So if you haven't signed up for a small group yet, do that. We also have devotional books. We've taken orders. We're trying to get some more. We definitely need to hear from you if you haven't gotten a book, because it takes a couple of weeks to get those. But be praying about that. It's a big move for the church. We're going to say basically, even in the midst of a pandemic, we can still grow in Christ. We can still grow in our faith. We can still let our roots grow deep into Jesus. So that's coming up in 2 weeks. Also on that day, September 13th, our children's ministry will be meeting online, so you can do that. If you have children, you should have gotten information about that. So they're going to have their classes online as well. So a lot of cool things are happening. This is week 7 in our series we're calling Forward. We've been talking about having faith, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of everything going around us, and we're just going to continue to move forward, just following Jesus through that. And with everything going on, with the pandemic, with the social unrest, economic unrest, all these different things, the election coming up, then we had a hurricane, as if we needed one more thing, right? And we need to be praying for the people that have experienced that hurricane. They're still rebuilding. When I was little and growing up, I lived on the coast, and we would have hurricanes, and hurricanes came at us in different ways. Sometimes hurricanes would come and move through rather quickly. Other time, hurricanes would come and they would sit for a while, and they were the worst because you just could not wait for them to be over. You would hear the winds hit the house. You would hear the rain. You would just kind of sit there and hope everything was okay. I remember listening to trees fall. That was always a scary thing. I remember losing trees in our yard. And I remember the water coming up into our yard sometime just from the flood as it just sat over us. These different hurricanes would just sit there. And in some ways, I feel like 2020, and maybe you feel this way too, 2020 has been one long storm. It's hard to believe it's still August. I think it's October half the time. I'm going, oh, Christmas is coming, and I keep hoping maybe. But I can't believe it's still August, and this is the last week in August. And it's like, wow, this year has gone on and on and on. And it feels like a storm that won't quit. But here's the deal, even in the midst of storms, we can have faith. And in the midst of storms, it's sometimes we get to see Jesus more clearly and more fully and rely on him more completely. And that's what this series is about. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 14. In this series, we've been looking really at some stories that Matthew put together. I think he had a thing for people with faith. He certainly showed faith in his life, and he wanted to kind of capture some stories, so he has some stories that others don't have. Most of the stories we've looked at, the events in Jesus' life, were in Matthew 8 and 9. But today we're going to skip forward to Matthew 14, verses 22 to 23, to see another event that happened during a storm and how God used that to teach one person in particular how to live with faith in the midst of a storm. Now, to kind of give you context as you turn to Matthew 14, verse 22, just know this, it's right after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has gone to get away. He needed a break, and when he took a break, there was the crowd needing all kinds of things from him, and they were hungry, so he fed them, and they saw some miraculous things, and then the rest of the events take place immediately after that. So Matthew 14, 22 through 33, I'm just going to read through it today. It says this, immediately he, being Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Verse 23, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Don't you just want to do that sometime? Just go to the mountains, get away from everything, spend time with God, and let him take care of everything. And that's what Jesus is doing. He just wanted to get away. And when evening came, he was there alone. Next verse. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. There was a storm coming. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Next verse, but immediately Jesus spoke to him, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." One of the shortest prayers in the Bible. What a great prayer. "Lord, save me." Three words. Verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's a great story, as probably most of us know this story, and it's something that I think Peter wanted to experience, something no one else ever had. And we see in this story someone who said, even in the midst of the storm, "I'm going to do something different. I'm going to let God do something amazing in my life." And before we move on, I just want to pray that over us today. So let's pray together. Father God, as we look at this story in depth, as we kind of dive into it, speak to us. And in the midst of time of chaos and uncertainty, time of storms in our life, Father, teach us how to live by faith. Teach us how to trust you. Teach us to learn from Jesus. And in the midst of this, speak to our hearts and show us maybe areas where we need to step out in faith, areas where we need to overcome fear, and areas where we need to grow and grow and grow. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of my favorite books on this particular story is a book written by John Ortberg. It's a book that I read years ago. It's impacted my thinking about a lot of things. It simply got this title, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat." And in that book, he kind of gives us a pattern for what it looks like to live by faith. And we're going to kind of walk through that pattern, talk about what does that look like, how does it impact our life, and what does it mean for us in a day-to-day world. So I'm going to work through five different steps of faith, or things that happen in the midst of a storm that you may be going through that you and I can live by faith. And the first one is simply this. When we're dealing with a storm, when we're dealing through rough times, there's a pattern in faith that's this. There's always a call. There is always a call, meaning God is calling us into something amazing, even in the midst of a storm. For Peter, this was a call within a call within a call, right? First of all, Jesus said to Peter years before, he said, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." That was the first call. That's the initial call. That's when he says to us, follow him. Levi, who was Matthew, experienced the same thing, right? Jesus walked by his tax booth one day and he said, follow me. And Levi left everything behind and he followed Jesus. Same thing with you. If you're a Christ follower, right, there was a day when you heard the gospel for the first time, or maybe it wasn't even the first time, but it was the most impactful time, and you heard Jesus say to you, give me your life. Let me be part of it. Let me enter into your world. And in some way, a prayer, a decision, something, you started to follow Jesus. And in your mind, I want you to go back to that time and remember what you felt like. Maybe it was relief. Maybe it was joy. Maybe it was just a time of peace. Whatever you felt then, sometimes we just need to go back there and go, I remember that initial call, and I made a decision that day to follow Jesus that I never, ever want to give up. That's exactly what happened to Peter. Jesus said, follow me, and he began to follow him. But then years later, Jesus wants him to take deeper steps into faith, right? He said, I want you to get in the boat. That's something interesting about this story. Jesus commanded him to get into the boat. He knew there was a storm out there, and he says, I want you to go now. See, this storm didn't catch Jesus by surprise. 2020 is not something that Jesus didn't see coming. He knew what he was doing when he calls us into this storm. And for them, it was a test of faith. So Peter gets in the boat. And then halfway out, when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter sees him, and he said, if it's you, Jesus, call me. And Jesus said one word, come. And that's the call to follow Jesus. That's the call to go somewhere new and somewhere deeper and somewhere that you're going to have to rely on him for more fully. What is Jesus saying to you today? For some of you, it's a call within a call within a call, right? Your first call was to follow Jesus, and then maybe it was to get married, and you found that person that God had picked out for you and got married. And then sometimes there's a deeper call to have children. You have children, and then there's a specific call in there, how to raise them and what to say. And then there's certain days where you have to sit down with them and say something very specific to them, and you understand that God's telling you to do that. Maybe it's the first time you share who Jesus is in your life. Or maybe there was a call to a certain job or a certain area, a certain house to live in, a certain neighborhood so that you could be there to help people know Jesus. What is he saying to you today? What's he directing you to do? Maybe it's a call to give him full surrender of your life. There's always a call. And in 2020, here's what I think Jesus is doing. He's saying, wake up. Wake up in your life. Don't hide like a turtle. Don't kind of go into your shell. He wants us to move out in faith. He says, I want you to do something different. I want you to do something amazing, and I'm going to do it through you. But what's the call within a call within a call? What is he saying for you to do? And that's what you're listening for. Get your spiritual ears open and listen and say, God, speak to me. What do you want me to do? What's my calling? Because there's always a call. Number two, the second pattern to this is once there's a call, there's always fear, right? There's always fear with God because you're about to go into something. You don't know what you're about to do. And let's be clear about something. I think Simon Peter was afraid in that boat. He had been a fisherman all his life. He had seen Jesus do amazing things, but he's on this water, and suddenly this person's coming to him, walking on the water, and what did everybody say? It's a what? It's a ghost. Do you know Jews didn't believe in ghosts? They didn't have really a category for that. There wasn't like they sat around and told ghost stories, but they had no category for somebody walking across the water. It's got to be something. Other people believe in ghosts. It's got to be a ghost. You ever done that with God? You're going, I don't get it, God. It can't really be you. It's got to be something else. I think Simon Peter was terrified like everybody else. And even when he got out of the boat, there had to be some fear, right? There had to be some fear going on there. There's always some fear that God is going to call us into something that we really can't handle, that we really can't deal with. Oh, we got something now we can't deal with. We got it? All right, good. In our life, we're going to see God just call us into new things. I face fear sometimes. I don't know about you guys, but the first time I was ever asked to speak, I was asked to speak at a graduation in a large crowd, and I didn't really want to do it, and I had someone just really press me to do it. I was teaching at a high school. Graduation was coming up. It was my last year of teaching, and I really was close to this group of seniors, and so they said, would you speak at graduation? I told them no. They came back and said, would you please do it? I told them no again. Finally, they came back and I said, I'll do it. I worked on that speech for a long time. I went through it. I practiced it. Then that night, I got up there. I stood at the podium. I looked out at the crowd, and my knees started shaking. You ever had that before? I didn't tell my knee to start shaking. I didn't go look at my knee going, would you please start shaking? That'll make me feel better. And then my hand started shaking. So there was a big podium, not like this. I hid behind that thing. And I held on, and I gave the speech. And if anybody sat on the side, they saw my leg going like a sewing machine, right? And I just was afraid. I didn't think about it. I didn't, like, go, I need to be afraid now. It just happened. Has that ever happened to you? Like, you just deal with fear? You ever dealt with worry before where it just suddenly comes out of you? And you go, where is this coming from? And it's in the pit of your stomach. And you know God's calling you to do something, and it just scares you to take a step of faith, to make a change, to try something new, to deal with something that's a little bit scary. In science, they tell us there's basically two responses to fear. Maybe you've heard this before. It's called fight or flight. When you're afraid, some people like to fight. And when you get worried and anxious, do you ever fight with the people around you? You ever done that before? Where it just comes out and you say something angrily to someone else because you're afraid and you begin to fight. For some people, it's flight. I'm just getting out of there. I'm going to just go away. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to deal with my family. I'm not going to do it with the people at work. I'm just going to be quiet. So we retreat. That's a type of flight. But I think God gives us a third category. It's the category of faith. So there's flight, there's fight, but there's also faith. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to deal with fear? Because fear and faith always go together. They always go together. I was talking to someone the other day, and they're really wrestling with their understanding of God. And one of the things they're wrestling with, and they said this to me, and they said it was from the Bible. They said, you know what? I don't believe what the Bible said. I go, what do you think the Bible says? And they said this, that God never gives you more than you can handle. And I stopped them and said, you know what? That's not in the Bible. You can't find that in the Bible. It's kind of a misquote of a verse in Corinthians that talks about temptation, but there's nowhere in the Bible that says God never gives you more than you can handle. It's a common phrase, but it's not biblical. Do you know what God does? He gives you something you can't handle, always. Because if you could handle it, you wouldn't need God. Understand that. Mary, when she was told she was going to have a baby, she couldn't handle that. She needed God. Moses, when he faced the Red Sea, he couldn't handle that. He needed God. Gideon could not defeat the Midianites. It was more than he could handle. He needed God. Simon Peter could not walk on water. He needed God. You cannot deal with the things around you. You need God, and that causes fear. You're going to deal with people that you don't know how to deal with them. You're going to hear things that you don't know how to handle. And God's saying, depend on me. Depend on me. When that fear comes up, that's your sign that you need me. Here's a statement I heard the other day. I really like it. The only way to build faith is to face fears. You can kind of go like this for a while, and a lot of Christians do this. I'm just going to just sit. I'm going to soak, and I'm going to coast, and I'm not going to move forward. And they never grow in their faith because there's things they're afraid of. So they just kind of sit there and don't go forward. God says, I want you to move forward. And as you move forward, you're going to face some fears. But the only way to build great faith is to face your fears. One of the things I think as a church, one of the greatest fears we have is sharing our faith. Especially in this culture, we go, everybody's a Christian. Or if I share my faith with somebody, they're going to reject me. And so we hold back. And we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, you need to share now, you need to pray now, you need to share something from your life, you need to be vulnerable. And we pull back and go, I don't think I can do that, God, because if I do that, they'll reject me. They won't listen. They'll get mad. So we let that fear back us off. For some people, it's praying out loud or praying in a group. For some people, it's joining a small group. They like, if I go there, it's going to cause me to step forward or share something. I'm going to have to talk. And so we use that fear to keep us from getting forward in life. So what are you afraid of? What's the fear that's in your heart that's keeping you from being a person who truly, completely follows Jesus? Find it. And at that point, then say, God, I need faith to move forward. Third pattern that we see after there's always fear, there is also always reassurance. There's always reassurance. In other words, Jesus is always there telling us it's going to be okay. He always is there for us. That's one of his greatest, I think, characteristics, is he's always an encourager. The guys are in the boat, right? They're scared to death. We don't know what this is. Jesus is approaching them, and he says this in verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying three things. And here's the three things he says to you today. Take heart. Be encouraged. The opposite of that is to lose heart, right? He says, take heart. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to what everybody else is getting into. Don't listen to the news and be freaked out. He says, take heart. Don't give in to it. And then he says three words in English, at least. It is I. In the original language, it's two words. It's simply, I am. It's the same words that God spoke to Moses when Moses said, who are you? And God said, I am. What does that mean? It means I was before, I am right now, and I always will be. I am here. I exist. It's a way of telling us he's with us. And then he told them these words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. In the midst of your greatest fear, in the midst of the greatest storm, you know what Jesus is constantly saying to you? I'm here. I'm right beside you. The presence of God is one of the greatest things that you and I can experience in our life, just the knowledge that he's there. In other words, he said, don't think that you're on your own. Don't think you got to do it yourself. I am here. I haven't gone anywhere. A lot of people look around the world right now and go, where is God? A few years ago, Time Magazine, another time of great turmoil in our country, it had on its cover, God is dead. Some of you guys remember that. A lot of people are saying right now, God is gone. Look at our world. Look at the chaos in our world. Where is God? And God, in the midst of that, is still saying to us today, take heart. It's me. I'm here. Don't be afraid. One of my favorite verses, actually kind of this verse I'm hanging on to right now as I go through different things, is in the Old Testament, Psalm 46, verse 1. If you're looking for something to hang on to and you're going through tough times, just grab hold of this verse and remind yourself of it. It says this, God is our refuge, our safe spot, the harbor in a storm. He's the place you can go to find peace, and he's our strength. God is our refuge and strength, and I love this line, a very present help in trouble. If you talk to most people and you say, when do you feel God? It's not in the good times. In the good times, what do we tend to do? We tend to forget God, right? When do we turn to God? When we need help. When we're in trouble. It's a great promise. He says, when you're in trouble, I'm a very present help. I don't know why the word varies in front of it. I love that. What's the difference between present and very present? I think he just manifests himself there. When you and I get to that place where we just kind of double up and say, God, I need you. He says, I'm right here. I'm right with you. Don't be afraid. So there's always reassurance. Number four, the four things in the pattern is this. There's always a decision. There's always something we have to decide, right? What are we going to do with this? God's called us. He's directed us. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. Now, what do? We have to decide. We have to decide. Jesus said to Peter, one word, come. What would you do? Would you get out of the boat? Would you step on the water? Or do you go, nah, it's a little safer in the boat. You got to decide. What did Peter do? Verse 29, so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And it's so easy to read that phrase, right? I mean, it's simple to read it. Can you picture that? A human being gets out of the boat and he steps on water and it holds him up. How does that happen? The only way it happens is that the God of the universe, the God who can do anything, made it possible for a human being to walk on the water following the example of Jesus. So often we just stop, right? I can't do that. It's too hard for me. Let someone else do it. Let someone else pick up that. Just let it go. And then God says, I want you to walk on water. Yes, it's impossible, but I'm going to make it possible. We sing things all the time, right, that talks about doing the impossible. Then in real life, we hold back and go, no, it's not possible. There's always a decision. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Bob Goff, in his latest book, has this quote, and I love this. It says this, faith is what you do about what you believe. There's always an action, right? It's not just within our head. It's what we do with what God's saying. Do we step out? Do we make that phone call? Do we invite someone to church? Do we sign up for a small group? Do we decide to be generous? Do we decide to give our time for something bigger than ourselves? What do we do with what we believe? Because that's what we truly believe. It's not what we say we believe. It's what we do with it that really makes a difference. I think God's calling us to some big things. For some of you guys, he's calling you to forgive someone. Instead of holding on to it, he said, I want you to forgive them. It's time to let go. That's a huge act of faith. For some people, it's calling you to move. And you're going, I'm too comfortable here. And he says, I want you to move. I want you to go somewhere else. I want you to carry the gospel when you go. For some of us, it's to take another step to invite someone to be part of your life, to tell someone you're praying for them, to reach out with the love of God and just say, I'm here to help. What is it that he's telling you to do? And then take that step and decide to do it. As a church, we face this constantly. I remember almost 14 years ago, we decided to launch a church. And then we launched it. It's just an amazing thing. It was like a decision that God says, you've got to make this or not. And it was scary. And then that decision has led to new decisions like, do we have a food pantry? We just gave out so much food this past Friday. It was amazing to see what God had provided, but it started with the initial step of this is something we even want to do. Is this what God's calling us to do? Same with the clothes closet, same with the backpack programs. Everything we've done, it's always been like, are we sure? Buy a building? Renovate a building? Go online with our services? Every one of those decisions has required faith. And every one of them, we said, okay, God, we'll do it. If you go with us, if you're leading. And that's what a life of faith looks like. The last kind of pattern that we look at, the last pattern of a life of faith is this. There's always a changed life. And that's what it's really about, to become more like Jesus. There's always a changed life. Peter was never the same. Only two people have ever walked on water that way, Jesus and Peter. And it changed the rest of his life. He took a step. And even though he failed Jesus at the time of the crucifixion, he denied Jesus, if you look at him in Acts, Peter lives a bold life, and he keeps going deeper and deeper in dependence on God and deeper into faith. It changed his life by making this one decision. He always knew something else about Jesus. Jesus could do the impossible. For the rest of the people in the boat, they were changed too, right? They saw Jesus. As soon as they got back in the boat, the storm ceased. And in verse 33, this is what they did. It says, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. It changed their view of him, and it changed their life as well. That's what God wants for you. When he calls you to step out in faith, he's saying, I want your life to be different now. I want you to live a deeper, fuller life of faith. And that's exactly what he does. Peter, near the end of his life, wrote something that I think is just really powerful. And he wrote this to a church that was facing persecution. He wrote this to a church and a group of people that were going through a difficult time. He wrote this to a group of people that were going through a storm. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7, he says this, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. He's kind of downplaying this, right? Been grieved by various trials. That totally defines what we're going through right now, right? Going through various trials, and it causes us to grieve and to be saddened and maybe to be a little afraid. But he says this, so that the tested genuineness of your faith is being tested, and the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? He says, when your faith has been tested and you come through, people are going to give glory to Jesus. They're going to see him in your life. It's not going to be just going to church and just going through your daily routine. It's going to be people seeing Jesus and give him glory, and your faith is going to be tested. It's come through stronger and better and more refined and more pure. So I'll go back to the original question. What is Jesus calling you to do right now in a step of faith? How does he want you to move forward? I think in this time of testing, it's not just holding back and going, okay, if we can just get through this. I think he's calling us to do some amazing stuff. Where everybody else is afraid, Christ followers should be the most faithful, the most courageous, the most willing to step out. So what's he calling you to do? So right now, let's just stop and let's pray over that. And maybe for some of us, it's the first time commitment to Jesus. He's calling you to take a step out of your boat and give your life to him fully and completely. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for everyone that's going through a storm, everyone that needs to just take a step of faith, and let's ask God to work. Let's pray together. Father, in this storm period, in this time that we're going through, show us who you truly are. Where it feels like the boat we're in may be rocked by the waves, you're just walking on top of it, not even affected by it, just walking to us and toward us. And I believe you're calling us to come out of the boat and take a step of faith. to do something more with our lives, to do more than just think about ourselves and how it affects us, but really look at the kingdom of God advancing, to see those around us as people who need to know Jesus, and help us to step out and do whatever you've called us to do. Take away our fear and replace it with a faith that trusts you no matter what, believing that you can do the impossible. And I pray for anyone today watching online here in the room that have not taken that first step of faith, who have not said to you, I want to be your child, who have not yet asked for forgiveness. And maybe today, by faith, they say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to change life. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to live by faith. I want to be forgiven. I want to move out of the prison of shame and guilt and live a life of freedom. And Father God, for anyone that's prayed that today who desires that, we just trust by faith that you're reaching them and you're speaking to them and your son's going to enter their life and forgive their sins so they can live forever for you. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for what you're doing in our life. May we live by a faith that pleases you. And I pray for anyone in a storm today that that storm becomes peaceful. Just as you got in the boat, everything was calm. And I pray that in our life too. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as we follow him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. We want to thank everybody for being here. Again, if you're in the room, if you're online, we want to appreciate you and just say, hey, continue to follow Christ. If you need to contact us, just reach out to us, so info@bridgeschurch.net. Be looking for more announcements coming out. Just be ready to see what God does. And thank you all for being here today.